Friends, we are now moving to international finance, and we are now going to look at balance of payments. What is balance of payment? That means difference between import payment and export payments in foreign exchange. That is balance of payments. Of course, you'll be surprised to see why I have put Dr. Manmohan Singh's photo at the very front. I consider him to be a financial wizard as far as our Indian finances are concerned. I call him the architect of our modern financial structure over here. The stable financial situation which you see prevalent over here. If I go back to giving you a little bit of the history, there was a time when we had a very severe balance of payment crisis. We were overdue with our loan repayments. Not only that, a situation arose where we were about to default on our interest payment. Mind you, at that time, Dr. Manmohan Singh was the governor of the Reserve Bank of India. He advised the government on certain issues, but the government at that time did not listen to his advice. And subsequently, later on, when he retired as governor, during the same time, fresh elections took place, and that election resulted in a multi-party government. Handling a crisis at that point was really very difficult, but Mr. P.V. Narasimha Rao became the Prime Minister, and he selected Dr. Manmohan Singh to be the Finance Minister, and he gave Dr. Manmohan Singh a free hand to arrange the finances as far as the present requirement as also the future financial policies of the government. That time situation was that we were required to sell our gold in the international market just to repay not the loan but the interest. It would have been a very bad situation if we would have paid interest amount by selling gold. Situation was tackled by Dr. Manmohan Singh in a very shrewd manner. He did not sell a small quantum of gold to pay interest. In fact, he placed a larger quantum of gold with certain foreign banks and loan from them on very nominal interest, very nominal rate of interest. Thereby, he complied with two aspects. Number one, payment of interest and also repayment of a certain quantum of the loan. At the same time, he declared our balance sheets and our financial regulations by opening up our Indian economy, liberalized the entire economic factors, allowing foreign direct investments, allowing foreign companies to invest in India. All our share markets were opened, our companies were allowed to freely allowed foreigners to come and set up companies in India. this brought in large amounts of foreign exchange. Along with that, our international trade policy was also opened up and liberalized to the extent that we exported more. The net result of all this was that we could generate more inflow of foreign currency. And during that period, import was also reduced. First thing to be reduced was that gold was banned for import. We had sufficient quantity of gold and individuals could not import gold at all. This resulted in saving of a large quantum of foreign exchange. Our oil imports were also reduced by increasing the rates for petroleum products so that we consume less. With these factors, over the next few years, we not only brought our foreign reserves on par, we could repay back all our foreign loans, interests completely. And next step, we redeemed back our gold, the gold which was kept in the foreign government and against which we took loan. That loan also was repaid. Entire gold was redeemed, and within the next few years, we could save so much of foreign exchange that very recently, a few years back, we have purchased 200 kilos of gold and kept in government vaults as a buffer. This was the ingenuity of our Dr. Manmohan Singh, and that is why I call him a wizard. Let's look at this chapter now. The topics that we cover is balance of payments, the international monetary system, the various business theories, balance of payment crisis, how does it occur? Gold, how is the gold a balancing factor? And then devaluation, how does devaluation work? First of all, let us try to see what are balance of payments. Balance of payment is also known as balance of international payments of a country. It is the record of all economic transactions between residents of the country and the rest of the world in a particular period of time. These transactions are made by individuals, by firms for import and export, and of course government bodies. And balance of payment provides detailed information concerning the demand and supply of a country's currency. How does it work? If a country imports more than it exports, then this means that the quantity of foreign exchange demanded in the market is likely to exceed. That means our country needs more foreign exchange. If the country exports more than it imports, then the currency would appreciate. That means we will earn more foreign exchange. And that is where our currency can appreciate. This is how we worked at it. A country's balance of payment data may signal its potential as a business partner for the rest of the world. If any country is grappling with a major balance of payment difficulty, it may not be able to expand imports from the outside world. And the country may be tempted to impose a lot of import restrictions and discourage capital outflows in order to improve the balance of payment situation. a country with significant balance of payments surplus would be more likely to expand imports. Now, mind you, if we expand imports, the government gets more duties, that is government revenue. This offers marketing opportunities for foreign enterprises, and it's less likely to impose foreign exchange restrictions. The balance of payment accounts keep systematic records of all economic transactions of a country with all other countries over a given period of time. And these transactions include payments for the country's exports and imports of goods, services, financial capitals, and other financial transfers. Of course, it is prepared after converting all the foreign currencies in the domestic country, currency of the country. A country experiencing trade deficit year after year gives a very big signal that that particular country's domestic industries lack international competitiveness. We should never lack this competitiveness. Under a fixed exchange rate system, central bank accommodate flows by buying up net inflow of funds or by providing foreign currency funds to the foreign exchange market. This prevents the funds flow from affecting the exchange rate between the country's currency and other currencies. The net change per year in the central bank's foreign exchange reserve is sometimes called the balance of payment surplus or deficit, depending. Alternatively, in a managed float, some changes of exchange rates are allowed. If the exchange rate is purely floating, the central bank does not intervene at all to protect or devalue its currency. The rate is allowed to be set by the market and the balance of payment is always zero. Current account is the sum of the balance of trade, that is net earnings on exports minus payments for imports, and factor into it the income earnings on foreign investments minus payments made to foreign investors and unilateral transfers. These may include transfers of goods and services or financial assets between the home country and the rest of the world. Private transfer payments refer to gifts made by individuals and non-governmental institutions to foreigners, or governmental transfers refers to gifts or grants made by one government to foreign residents or to foreign governments. When investment income and unilateral transfers are combined with the balance of goods and services, we arrive at the current account balance. Capital account. The capital account includes the reserve account, the foreign exchange market operations of a nation's central bank, along with the loans and investments between the country and the rest of the world, but not future interest payments and dividends that the loans and investments yield. Not futuristics, current. If a country purchases more foreign assets for cash, then the asset it sells for cash to other countries. The capital account is said to become negative or deficient. The term capital account is also used in a more narrower sense that excludes central bank foreign exchange market operations. Sometimes the reserve account is classified as below the line and so not reported as part of the capital account. balance of payment imbalances while the imbalance balance of payment overall surplus or deficit on its individual elements can lead to imbalances between countries. Countries having a deficit in their current accounts will build up increasing debt, will borrow more, or see increased foreign ownerships of their assets. They will sell their assets more to foreign countries or companies. The type of deficits that typically raise concern are: 1. A visible trade deficit where a nation is importing more physical goods than it is exporting. An overall current account deficit, or a deficit, basic deficit, which is the current account plus foreign direct investment. What is a reserve asset? In the context of BOP and international monetary systems, the reserve asset is the currency or other store of value that is primarily used by nations for their foreign reserves. Normally, most of the countries have gold as their reserve assets. But apart from that, they can also keep foreign exchange as their reserve assets. BOP imbalances tend to manifest as hoards of the reserve assets being amassed by surplus countries, with deficit countries building up debts denominated in the reserve asset, or at least depleting their supply. As a result of the 1997 Asian financial crisis, several nations ran out of foreign currency needed for essential imports and had to accept deals on unfavorable terms. International monetary system. One of the three fundamental functions of any international monetary system is to provide mechanisms to correct this kind of imbalances. There are three possible methods to correct BOP imbalances, though in practice, a mixture including some degree of at least the first two methods tends to be used. One, adjustment of exchange rate. Two, adjustment of a nation's internal prices along with its levels of demand. And third, rules-based adjustment. First, adjustments of exchange rate. Exchange rates can be adjusted by the government in a rules-based or managed currency regime. And when left to float freely in the market, they also tend to change in the direction that will restore the balance. When a country is selling more than it imports, the demand for its currency will tend to increase as other countries ultimately need the selling country's currency to make payments for export. This extra demand tends to cause a rise of the currency's price relative to others. When a country is importing more than it exports, the supply of its own currency in the international market tends to increase as it tries to exchange it for foreign currency to pay for its imports. And this extra supply tends to cause the price to fall. Adjustment of internal price and demand. When imbalances exist between members of a currency union, the standard approach to correct imbalances by making changes to the domestic economy. To a large degree, the change is optional for the surplus country but compulsory for the deficit country. When a country has got a favorable trade balance by selling more than it buys, it will experience a net inflow of gold. And the natural effect of this will be to increase the money supply, which will lead to inflation and an increase in prices. This makes its goods less competitive and so will decrease its trade supply. Rules-based adjustments. Nations can agree to fix their exchange rates against each other and then correct any imbalances that arises by rules-based and negotiated exchange rate and other methods. This could lead to a system of fixed but adjustable exchange rates. The system should also have additional rules to encourage surplus countries to share the burden of rebalancing as they were in a stronger position to do so. BOP imbalances could be due to surplus being regarded as negative externalities imposed on the global economy. Let's understand what a balance of payment crisis is. A BOP crisis, also called a currency crisis, occurs when a nation is unable to pay for essential imports or services, external debt repayments. Typically, this is accompanied by a rapid decline in the value of the affected nation's currency. And it is preceded by large capital inflows, which are associated at first with rapid economic growth. And a point is reached where overseas investors become concerned about the level of debt their inbound capital is generating and decide to pull out their funds. The resulting outbound capital are associated with a drop in the value of the affected country's nation's currency. Once the nation's government has exhausted its foreign reserves trying to support the value of the domestic currency, its policy options are very limited. It can raise its interest rate to try to prevent further declines in the value of its currency so that it can help those with debt denominated in foreign currencies. A strong currency is not necessarily in a nation's best interest. Or a weak domestic currency makes a nation's export more competitive in global markets and simultaneously makes imports more expensive. Therefore, higher export volumes spur economic growth, while pricey or more costly imports also have a similar effect because consumers will opt for local alternatives to the imported products. BOP accounts. These accounts summarize payments made or received from foreign countries. Receipts are considered as credit transactions, while payments are considered as debt transactions. And BOP is a function of basically three components. One, transactions involving export or import of goods and services from current account. Two, transactions involving purchase or sale of financial assets from financial account. And three, transactions involving unconventional transfers of wealth from capital account. The current account summarizes three variables. One, trade balance. Two, net factor income from abroad. Three, net unilateral transfers. The financial account summarizes the value of exports versus imports of assets. Yes, your export and import is import and export of assets. The capital account summarizes the value of assets received net of transfers given. That means transfers received to transfers given. Net balance is calculated. The capital account also includes the official reserve account, which summarizes the central bank's purchases and sales of domestic currency, foreign exchange, gold, and SDRs for the purpose of maintaining or utilizing bank reserves. Let us try to understand what are the financial risks involved. International business as a whole, they face a number of financial risks. First, it's a political risk. It is the potential of losses from a country's political instability or otherwise unfavorable developments. Countries suddenly change their democratic setup or their other regulations. This definitely creates a financial risk for international business. Again, transfer risk. This emphasizes uncertainties surrounding a country's capital controls and balance of payments. Operational risk characterizes concern over a country's regulatory policies and their impact on normal business operations. If the country puts an impact on normal business operations, then definitely international business will suffer and there will be a financial risk involved. The control risk is born from uncertainties surrounding property and decision rights in the local operations of the FDI. Then there are credit risks, which implies that lenders may face an unfavorable regulatory framework that affords no legal protection to the foreign investor. Regulatory bodies, yes. Looking to these risks, there are different types of regulatory bodies. Goals of financial regulation includes countries' pursuit of financial stability. Here, a single nation with functioning governance, financial regulations, deposit insurance, emergency financing through discount windows, standard accounting practices, and above all, an established legal and disclosure procedures can itself develop and grow a healthy domestic financial system. In the global context, however, no central political authority exists which can extend these arrangements globally. Therefore, there are financial regulations. Some degree of self-regulation occurs when banks and other financial institutes operate within guidelines set by multilateral organizations such as IMF or BIS. Conditionalities of IMF, CAR and CRR policies of BIS. Further examples of international regulatory bodies, there are many other regulatory bodies. There is a Financial Stability Board established to coordinate information and activities amongst the developed countries. Mind you, most of these regulatory activities and institutions are of the developed countries. The International Organization of Securities Commission, which coordinates with the regulation of financial securities, International Association of Insurance Supervisors, they promote consistent insurance industry supervision. And especially finally, FATF, Financial Action Task Force on Money Laundering, which facilitates collaboration in battling money laundering and terrorism financing. This hurts the international business to the maximum. The International Accounting Standards Board, which publishes accounting and auditing standards, they have public and private arrangements exist to assist and guide countries struggling with the sovereign debt payments. These are private clubs, like the Paris Club, London Club, group of industrialists or industries. They help each other. National Securities Commission and independent financial regulators maintain oversight of the industry's foreign exchange market activities. Examples of such regulators in Europe are the EBA, or European Banking Authority, which identifies the systemic risk and institutional weakness. They may overrule national regulators. The European Shadow Financial Regulatory Committee, which reviews from time to time financial regulatory issues, and they publish policy recommendations. Then there are other research organizations, like research and academic institutions, professional associations, and think tanks. All these aim to observe, model, understand, and publish recommendations to improve transparency and effectiveness of the global financial system. Yes, they look with a hawk's eye on the country's global transactions. For example, Independent Non-Participable World Economic Forum facilitates the Global Agenda Council on Global Financial System and Global Agenda Council on the International Monetary System, which report on the systemic risk and assemble policy recommendations. The Global Financial Markets Association facilitates discussions of global financial issues, especially amongst members of various professional associations around the world. Not the banking institution, but professionals. They are economic banking professionals. Thank you.